That's Dave and Mesa, right?
Yes, yes.
Dave and Donna.
Well, now it's Dave and Donna. Yeah, she's living with me now.
You know, one day on one of our Monday shows, Don, are you listening, Don?
Yes, I am. You're all in stereo.
No, Don Newsom. Is he listening?
Don from BBS.
Oh, Doug, I just want to make sure Don's not listening because I wanted to talk about him. Well,
yeah.
I'll listen. You know, someday I'm going to play on Monday. I'm going to pick a couple. We have like two or three classic Don and Moon shows, okay? By the way, if you're listening on BBS, you know, just for your... If you don't know what the Don and Wynn Show is, how many of you never heard of the Don and Wynn Show?
I know.
Yes.
Well, you know, there was a point where I was sitting in this little room, twiddling my thumbs, saying, I think this is really important, how to get out into the world, and how do I do this? Where do I start? And this woman had...
You want to talk to me?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, hang on. I guess so. See, I don't like starting the recording, because then...
This conference is being recorded.
Then I have to be good. Hi, everybody. We've just started our recording, and this is 12/10/2020. You can hear people checking in as we go. There's another one.
Renita from Nebraska.
Who is that?
Renita.
Renita, is this your first time checking in?
On this call, I'm not sure. I've been on before.
Well, you're very courageous to come onto this call, you know.
Oh. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I've heard from the other one.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Patty, I'm new.
Patty?
Yes.
Patty Kilkenny?
No, I'm Patty Bramhall. I'm here.
You're me?
Yeah, I'm you here, everybody.
You here? I thought you said I'm you. And I said,
yeah, I'm you.
Somebody finally figured it all out.
Anna Jonas sent me.
Uh-huh.
Is this
your first time? Yes, it is. Oh, welcome. No, I told someone else. Everyone is Everyone is very giggly tonight, okay?
Really?
I'm not.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Some of the people are very giggly, and they're tending to dominate the call.
It might get that way any minute, though.
At a certain point, I mute everybody. So you'll have, if you don't like the giggling, just wait. I'll do my ultimate power trip and say, you're off. But what I was saying, and we haven't muted everybody, I'm just letting everyone share their comments. Actually, you know, Carla was on with me tonight, and she has the flu. That didn't work, well, we did that. did you guys...
Muted.
Hi there.
Yes.
Would you like to say your name and your city?
Denise.
Is that Denise?
Hi, Denise.
Wait a second. Is that Denise in San Francisco?
No, it's Denise in Atlanta.
Hi, Denise.
Is this a Denise that was connected with Rumor Mill News? Okay, thanks.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi.
Good evening. From Concord, California.
Where are you? Hi, Anna from Fremont, California.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Is that Anna Jones?
Fremont?
Yeah.
No, Anna, it's really
Hi there. This is Ray from Nevada.
Hi, Ray.
Anna,
how are you?
Yes, I'm here.
very dangerous, Anna, when I know your last name is.
I know, it's a patty on.
Hey, Ray from Nevada. What?
Hey.
Ray donated a new phone service so that we would have good quality on these calls.
Hey, I'm good so far.
Wow.
So I'm not
in Memphis.
Yeah, this is Steve
in Texas.
Hey, Steve.
Are we too loud? Okay, all these people are those. There's all these people listening on the conference. I mean, they're listening to the replays and saying, when are you going to get to it? I have somebody in Northern California that says, Wim, how come you do all that at the beginning of the call? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody. There we go. And I was saying about the Don and Wim show. And... Hi, can you... Okay. So, this is about, I don't know. Terry, are you on the line?
I am, I'm here.
How come you're not muted?
I don't know that I need to be right now.
Okay. I'm just checking, you know.
Okay.
I'm just so used to when I say, Terry, are you there? Having this long pause. And then when you come back, on, you say, "Wait a moment." So, here I was, all by myself. I don't know, where was I? I don't even remember. Maybe I was in my RV or living at Terry's place, and I'm having all these conversations. And I'm saying, how do I start? Where do I put this out into the world? And there is this woman who, I don't even remember how I knew her. She lived in Georgia or somewhere. And she said, I know this guy that's just starting a radio show and a radio broadcasting thing. And I want to put him in touch with you. So she did. And Don and I had a conversation. And I told Don a little of my story. That's Don and Doug, Doug's his brother. And he said, Wynn, you have the most far-out story I ever heard. And he said, you want to have your own show? And I said, no. What am I going to do, tell my story over and over again? I mean, what we're doing now, it's an outgrowth. I didn't want to do a weekly radio show. But then I told Don, I said, how about if I tell my story in a little hour cassette, and you can just put it up, and if you ever have a blank hour, just go ahead and play the cassette. And so he said, okay. So I sent him the cassette, and he put it up, and I don't know if there was one person listening to it, because no one knew about it. I mean, you know, people think that when you're on the internet and you have a show, everyone's listening to you. But the fact of the matter is, it's not true. People don't listen to you. No one knows you're there. The hardest thing in today's world is to figure out how someone can know that you exist. Why should they look for you? Because otherwise, you're invisible, and I did that show and no one listened. But Don started calling me up. And we were having these very creative conversations. And at one point, I told Don, I said, why don't we just record our conversations and put it up on the air and call it the Don and Wynn Show? And so we did. I would record the conversation, I'd send it to Don, and he ran it. And then eventually, we started doing our conversations live. And at the beginning of that, there was nobody paying attention to BBS. He had like two shows. And Don started getting other talk show hosts. And he started becoming a little bit more aloof, in my opinion, because he had an image to connect with all these people, and he didn't want to look like he was specially connecting to me. And then my thing in doing these shows was, maybe I can get some of my work out there, and we can develop some kind of following. And so probably somewhere about 3, 4, 5 months into it, Daphne, who was always thinking that I was really crazy and that this stuff was too far out, I called her, and you know, she had withdrawn and gone back to Cape Cod. I called her and I said, "Hey, guess what? I got my own radio show with Don, and how would you like to be a guest?" And she said, "Okay," and she came on that show. And really, I was just trying to demonstrate to her that there were people who thought that what she started was important. Because I don't know if you guys can realize this, but when she started giving me those messages, it was just her and myself, and we had no idea where it was coming from, what to do with it. You know, it was, and particularly Daphne didn't know. She said, "How do we know what this is? Is this negative?" And there was no one to validate it. No one to say, "Wow, that's great. Those are interesting." And so Daphne came on the show, and somewhere in the middle of it, she said, "They want to give a message." And I said, "Don, what do you think? Should we let them through?" And this was a little scary, because I was aware at that point of the potential, the negative sources, and that what if she said something that wasn't cool, that didn't come from the right place. But I thought we'd take the chance. We probably had 35 listeners or something, and there was this awesome channeling, which I think I have up on our store page for a $3 donation. And you can get it for less, you can get it for free. It's store.intelligent-infinity.com, where this voice came in that said they were the Council of 12, and they were like a subset council for the Elohim, and that they monitored, the way that I got it, they monitored this level, and then they would petition the Elohim sent energy into this, you know, a certain area down here. So they would find a group of meditators, and they'd say, "Send those guys energy," or, you know, finding good use of liaisoning and paying attention down here to where energy was needed. And they were brilliantly wise. It was phenomenal channeling, and it was, I think, the first time there ever was a live broadcast on the radio like that. And then Don would invite, you know, said, "Well, bring Daphne back on, and then bring Terry on." And they both would come on, and I believe the next, this is really funny, you have to listen to this to really grasp it. I mean, I'll tell you what it was. As I say, these were really amazing shows that sometime I'll play them on a Monday night, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It puts everything in a context. But I have to believe the next time that Daphne came on, when I called in for the higher sources, this voice answered. Do you remember what the voice said, Terry? Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
Hi, okay. Here I have to unmute.
Yeah, I knew if I asked you enough, I'd get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
second time we did this, this voice came on and said it was Buck Choi the Dolphin. And I said, what is going on here? Buck Choi the Dolphin. Now, to this day, I can't understand if it was the one of our higher sources or if it was really a dolphin. Now, Terry thinks
well, you know
it was
what? The dolphins are like able to go back and forth between some of the dimensions, some of the higher dimensions, just with their own beingness. Because they have a higher range of frequencies than humans. And so Bok Choi had gotten a hold of Daphne and said, we want to get a hold of Terry. I want to get a hold of Terry, and I haven't been able to. Could you get a hold of her for me? And I remembered Buck Choi from a past life. And so it was extraordinary that Daphne picked that up and brought it through. And so I could have a conversation with Buck Choi through Daphne.
That happened on the show, or did that happen? I remember one time I had we were doing channelings over the phone, and one time Buck Choi came through Daphne, kind of cheering you up.
Yeah, that's when Buck Choi first came through to me, and I think that the call with Buck Choi on the radio was later.
Mm-hmm. So you think it was really Buck Choi, right?
I do. I think it was Buck Choi, and I think that he's a dolphin. He's off of Hawaii.
I was always wondering if it was really a dolphin, or that Don was so irreverent that our sources said, well, we'll just be a dolphin so we can get across. We don't have to worry about the irreverence. But
no, Buck Choi is a soul, but Buck Choi is has a dolphin body in this life.
I see. Okay, maybe sometime we'll invite him back if Daphne will show up again. And
okay, that would be fun.
One of the things that was cool about Buck Choi is that we had listeners asking questions. And Gina would probably love Buck Choi, right?
Oh, she would, yes.
Gina is our dolphin emissary who comes into our calls. You know, for new people, this is kind of a silly call because Carla didn't show up and is sick. And I might go through myself going through a passage or two of the raw material and see how that works. Because that's how it all started with Carla. I did it once, and I said, hey, as long as I'm doing this, I'll invite Carla in. And for those that are listening for the first time, the people that are listening to these calls regularly are kind of entering a whole new alternative reality, not just in ideas, but in energies. There's energies on these calls that come through and people can feel, and that they open them up and their hearts open up. And my explanation for this, and our sources confer, was that we have these group souls that really exist. And they're not just a voice that comes through Terry. And this is unusual for channelings, because most channelings are not group souls. They're individual angels, they're deceased people, and they're even negative sources. But the unique ability of group souls. Now, I asked this, if you read the Elohim, the Creator God book, I asked them, how do you relate to this realm? And they said, we can project energy. They didn't use the word project, but something, that's my word, they can project energy into this realm. And I didn't know, at that point, I don't think I had experienced that energy directly. And I was just having conversations. So it was just a mental idea that they could project energy into the room. And then one time I was doing a session with Terry, and, you know, at that point, I didn't know anyone would ever be paying attention to it. I thought it was important. I said, why don't I ask questions that everyone would like? So she would be working in a legal office, and every day she would come back. And when she was not too tired, I'd pull out the tape recorder, and I'd start querying them about things. And the creator God of the cause of the physical universe want to talk to you was the result of those questions. And, you know, so I asked them, well, who are you? Where do you come from? How do you work with us? And the answers were extraordinary. Now, the truth of the matter is, I wasn't sure they were who they said they were at that point. I was certainly open to the possibility, but I said, well, if they are who they say they are, why don't I ask them the tough questions? So, who are you? We create focusing mechanisms for life. That was their answer. I should have the book here. We create focusing mechanisms for life. What is a focusing mechanism for life? We are. Everything is. Trees. Okay? And I said, okay, well, how do you do that? Well, they explained it in that book. And I said, how did you really create the universe? How did the universe get created? And then they went back to the place before there was a universe, when there was just souls, entities that were spirit forms. And they didn't think of themselves as God. They had an awareness of themselves, and they communicated to each other as spirits, and they would project energies, frequencies, and when those frequencies would come together, would create nodes that would create points in time and space. Because from where they stood, there was no time and space. There was time and space was something which was being invented by them. And they were learning how to create time and space, and it wasn't like they knew how to do it, because it never had been done before. And so at one point, we were having one of these conversations, and I said, I had got the information already that I just went blank. That orbs, you know what an orb is? An orb is a little colored ball that appears, that some people can see them, and sometimes they're picked up by cameras, and that there's one picture of me that I sometimes put out where I was giving a public talk, and there was this blue orb on my elbow in a picture, and it's striking, and it's hard to believe that it was some anomaly from the camera. So I asked them, I said, could you guys create an orb in the room? And they said, well, there already is an orb. We're already creating it. But it goes from the sky to the earth, into the earth. It was a big orb. It was so big we were inside the orb. And they were explaining it was the Ra group that created small orbs, and the Elohim group created, was these big orbs. And of course, those of you that come into our Sunday grid healings have learned to know what that means, because it's hard to put it into words when you feel that energy. And yet we've learned only by trial and error that we could invoke that and they would support it. This is my interpretation, for that energy that comes in. It's so huge, and you end up feeling really expanded. And, you know, I found the book, the Elohim book, and, you know, the question was, we are a soul group whose purpose is to bring life and life forms to planets such as Earth. We then work with life forms in the hope that they will align themselves with higher interdimensional energies, bringing heaven into the third dimension, transmuting third dimensional experiences into a fruitful playing ground for learning the lessons of love and bringing wiser entities back into the fourth and the fifth dimensions. And so that whole book, we give that away for free, and it's at intelligent-infinity.com. You can download it, and then you'll get emails from me announcing all these calls that we do. But I started to be quite predisposed, thinking that maybe they were who they said they were. And, we have so many of those old classic channelings, which I've never put up, and we're getting around to it. Mostly on our archives, we have the more recent ones. But because so many people are paying attention to the archives, I started looking through some of the old transcripts we have, and they're awesome. They're amazing. And these are from Daphne. I'll just give you an example here of stuff that was from 2005, of the kinds of conversations that were coming through Daphne. And let me see here. You know, one of the things that was occurring was we were, if you read that book, you know that when I was asking them to direct me somewhere where people would find this important, they sent me to Mesa, Arizona. And I thought they were going to send me to some New Age woo-woo channeling group, okay? But they sent me to Mesa. And then they sent me to a Mormon church, and they had me introduced. They sent me to a church, and they told me the street name of the church. You know, we have Dave and Donna in Mesa right now, and it's always interesting because that trip to Mesa was very. There's a number of things that keyed me in to, hey, I think this is real, because my conscious mind was having a really hard time believing it, okay? And then I started asking them all kinds of questions about Mormons, because apparently the same Elohim group was connected to Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon religion. And I was curious as to why they what was the idea behind that religion. And one of the things that came out was that Elohim souls can take bodies in this realm. And there are many that who have. And like all beings from other dimensions who take bodies on planet Earth, they forget why they came. They have no memory, just like all of you. We have amnesia. It's part of being here. And we have to rediscover our celestial lineages, and many of us have them. And those people that highly resonate with this material are very likely people with some kind of celestial lineage. And this realm would get screwed up, and we know the Ra group would have lots of volunteers coming back to this realm, and so would the Elohim group. And invariably, those beings that came in from the higher realms, that when they would come into this realm, they would get lost. They'd forget where they came from. They'd forget they were supposed to be of service. And the real reason, the value of those beings being here, was that they had the resonance to connect with the celestial Elohim. They had the ability to do it, but they didn't do it because they didn't know how once they were here. No one was being a representative. And in a sense, that's one of the things we're learning how to do, how to connect with those frequencies and bring them into this realm. So, you know, I asked them questions. No, I don't want the certain things about Mormons that have gotten diffused over the years, and certain ideas that were, like all religions, that were in the original principles, and then they get distorted over a long period of time. And, for example, I asked the question, I'd like to ask about the Mormon idea of praying for the dead. Can you explain the origin of this ritual and give some understanding for its current manifestation? Well, if you're aware of Mormons, you'll know that they actually try to keep records, not only of people who are Mormons, but people who are of any dispensation, and they pray for them. Everyone. So here was their answer. The origin of this ritual, similar to many rituals in ancient Egypt culture, Jewish culture, Christianity, Buddhism, and Hindu, is for the safe passage of the souls through the upper layers, through the upper dimensions, back to the source of light, to free souls from places of entrapment, such as the astral realm, such as the nether worlds between dimensions. It's a prayer for safe passage. It originated thousands and thousands of years ago and mixed with other religions and traditions. The Native Americans also pray to their ancestors. Now, interestingly enough, there's been a couple few situations where somebody had died and we worked with that person because somebody asked through Terry. And it exactly matched what Terry would say, like they're stuck on the astral, and then the Elohim would come in and they'd work with that person. You want to describe that, Terry? I think, how does what you know match what, that was through Daphne, what I just read.
It's different every time when somebody has died, they will, and somebody else requests to look in on them or see if they can use their path to the other side. Like this, it's an individualized thing. They get in touch with that particular person that's transitioned. And sometimes they are stuck on the astral because they don't want to let go of something in their life here. Sometimes they don't know that they have died or crossed over, and they just keep trying to walk around and talk to people as if they were alive. Sometimes they just see the tunnel of light and they move into the heavenly realm and get debriefed and get connected up with lost relatives. or that have died previously, and the relatives may come on the other side. So there's different circumstances depending upon how the person died. Like there was one person that committed suicide, and he was really sorry that he did it, and he was just stuck in the astral, and now he couldn't talk to anybody. There was one guy who was the fire. He was something to do with the New York Fire Department. He seemed to be like the head of the New York Fire Department or something that was killed in 9/11. And he showed up, and it was really interesting because he showed up and he said, he was really an extraordinary being. And it's like I was with Wynn at the time, and he says, I'm going to be your kid. And I said, no, this is not going to happen. And so I recommend that you go and you find a body, a woman that's pregnant, and then you can get to be her kid. And so he said, okay, and he left. And after a half an hour or so, he came back and he said, nobody else can talk to me except you. Nobody can understand me. And so then I said, well, you know, if you get a body of a woman that's pregnant and then she has the baby and that's you, and then she will be able to talk to you. And then he said, okay, and he left. But also, he at one point, he left and came back. He says, I got to go now because there was all that happening in New York about the Twin Towers coming down. And anyway, he was a very strong, beautiful being. And there's all different circumstances depending upon the individual. And if people can talk to the person, like very often people will be in the hospital and they think, oh, the person can't understand me because they're unconscious. But there they are. They're listening to every single word, and they're right there even though they aren't in their body right then. So anyway, those are my comments.
You know, Terry used to talk like this 15 years ago, and I thought she was nuts. Okay. In any case, you know, if we send light to a deceased person, does it have a positive impact? Yes, of course. Each deceased person is still a soul. So even though we can't see the impact, there's a window where the energy reaches that person, yes? Cancel. You can't see electricity. Isn't that real? Yes, but there's an act of faith. With electricity, we can see lights. We can see manifestation of it. Cancel. There's an act of faith in everything you do. There's an act of faith in waking up in the morning that you will breathe. There's an act of faith in believing the sun will rise. When, if we're sending light to deceased beings, could we assume that for deceased beings that we know personally, we would have more pathway access to, rather than deceased beings who experienced some tragedy from an earthquake in another country? Terry, do you remember, was this you or was this Daphne?
I think this was Daphne.
These are the kind of questions that I would ask you, though, okay? So, so we're talking about sending light to deceased beings, not necessarily.
I think that would be true. You know, you would have more knowledge of the person, more sense of what their vibration feels like, and if you picture with all your senses the person's vibration and essence and beingness, you can do it easier if you've known the person, but for somebody in another country that was in an earthquake, it would be very hard. Now, one of the things I do is like when there was that San Francisco earthquake and that freeway pancaked, and it's like I often go there my own self and see if I can render assistance. So I went there during that time, and I could see the beings coming out of their cars, like that pancake, and their bodies had died, and they were really excited, like, what the blaze happened here? And they were coming out of their cars, their spirit was, and they were all, like, meeting above the freeway and all talking to each other excitedly with, like, what happened here? And,
did they know they were dead?
No. They didn't know they were dead. It's like they just exited. It's like they were so excited. They had so much energy from this freeway coming down on them that they were just in a high state of excitement, noticing each other spiritually and just excitedly talking to each other as if they were had their bodies still.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, I'll tell you how Daphne answered that. Not
yes.
necessarily, okay? I said,
yes.
Again, the question was could we send light to people, deceased beings that we knew personally? Would we have more pathway than those who experienced some tragedy from an earthquake in another country? And the
mm-hmm.
answer was, not necessarily. It depends on the soul contract. You know consciously only those contracts which you are aware of vibrationally of this lifetime. There could be many other lifetimes, multiple lifetime contracts, which you are not aware of. It behooves the soul to pray for all of humanity, both personal knowledge of the people and non-personal. And then I asked, on the non-personal, does that just go into the collective and disperse? Counsel, not necessarily. One may pray for an individual in Sri Lanka or Thailand. When? And our consciousness will direct to an individual in that area? Counsel. Yes, to the higher self of that individual. When? So we could say there is some benefit to the Mormon idea of putting all the names on a list and directing a collective prayer towards the list. And they said, yes. And then I asked, I'm formulating an idea for the relationship. Well, let me just skip that question. That's going into another area. Let's see. There was a point here. When, in terms of ascension, at times I have postulated that perhaps ascension was another name for emergency evacuation from this planet, because it might have disasters. And the reason ascension was necessary was because it would be needed to retain the DNA and the imprints of the people to repopulate the planet. And they said, that is incorrect. Ascension is not evacuation. Ascension is more likened to an electron reaching a critical mass of velocity and jumping orbit. An analogy on your musical instrument, the piano, would be raising the tone an octave or overblowing on a wind instrument, thus producing a harmonic, or pitching a string on a guitar very high on the fretboard and producing a harmonic. The evacuation scenario is based on fear and based mostly on a negative agenda permeating the etheric vibrational fields of the earth at this time. When? Now there are, remember, this is 2005, there are people who say the negative is no longer impacting our planet from the outside, and it's just the residual that's inside. Counsel, that is approximately true. The negative influence from off planet is down 4 to 7%. When? Is that because we've been protected? This is because there's a grand cosmic plan for ascension. Earth itself is a sentient being. She has decided to ascend. Whether or not her inhabitants ascend around with her is totally up to their individual soul core choices. But she is an entirely, but she is an entity, will ascend. Let's see. Could you explain the connection between DNA and Mother Earth? Is human A the interface that allows Mother Earth to receive planetary vibrations? Now, this was a really interesting answer. You have it backwards. Mother Earth does not need us. We need her. Mother Earth is perfectly capable of ascending where there are no humans on Mother Earth. Our DNA allows us to process and to evolutionary experience this dimension by being a guest on the home of Mother Earth. When, if someone comes here from another planet, say an ET that lands here, what is the connection between their DNA and their vibratory field in relationship to the Earth's vibratory field? It varies with the species of entity. When, can you explain some of the variances in the specific planetary groups that can and can't? There are literally hundreds from all sectors of the galaxy. There are Andromedans, there are Pleiadians, there are Orions, Zeta Reticulans, and Grays, Draconians, and Betelgeusians. The list goes on and on. When? Are they all able to exist in this dimension if they choose to, if it was permitted? You do not understand. We are of those lineages. We are all of mixed genetic lineages. When? So they do exist here as us, and each is interdimensionally connected to the group whose DNA it contains? Yes. Some people are more connected to the Sirian group. Some, such as myself, Daphne, are more connected to the Andromedans and Pleiadians. And some, such as David, are more connected with the Ra group. Isn't that interesting? Each of us is connected to our expanded group. So if you come from a Pleiadian lineage, you know, there's a book by Barbara Marciniak who channels Pleiadians, and they indicate that they are interested in the evolution of Earth because they played some part. If many of their souls are connected here, and it affects their ability to evolve. Until they, apparently, that we hold them back if we're not evolved, the Pleiadians, something like that. Now, here's an interesting line of questions. How many souls make up the conglomerate of the Ra group? Of the Earth? When? Of the galaxy? Council? Of the Milky Way galaxy? Does Ra extend beyond the Milky Way? Let's talk about the Milky Way. We read about 5 billion plus. When? Those souls have come from all kinds of lineages and have voluntarily joined the Ra group. Yes. How about the Elohim? How many souls comprise the Elohim group? Council. In the third density, we read 12 million. In the solar system, 40 million. In the Milky Way galaxy, 123 million. When does each soul make independent decisions and collaborate with the group? Council. The soul's higher self, along with guidelines and dharmic advisors, make the ultimate decisions concerning what incarnational path it shall choose in order to best rectify evolutionary gaps in its knowledge and to help move forward the process of returning to Godhead. Are there any other groups besides the Elohim and Ra who closely are working with the Ascension process? Council, the Council of Twelve. Can you explain who they are? They are an oversoul collected group similar to the original Disciples of Christ that are overlooking the planetary and solar system evolution into the Christ consciousness in our solar system. When? Are they also called the Guardians? Council. That is a different group. That is the White Brotherhood. Now, I actually didn't finish my discussion on the Mormons. I'm going to go back a moment. This is based on other channelings that the idea of the Elohim was to create some kind of dogma, a religion, spiritual teaching that they could bring the Elohim souls into that group, and they might not lose themselves. That was the idea. So the Mormons were the creation of that. And the original firstborn Mormons were all Elohim souls. That's why Mormons are different. And if you look at Mormons, if you look at them, if you know any, you will notice that they take care of each other better than any other religion. And they tend to be very successful when they put their minds to it. And they tend to be very good-looking. If you look at Mitt Romney, whatever you think of his politics, he is a handsome guy. And the fourth aspect of them is they don't have wisdom of this realm. And they're new souls here. And so they're easily misled because they can't figure it out. Without having the experience. So I kept dwelling on this and thinking about it because, you know, it has to make sense to me, not just believing it. And so I started to look at, for example, Donnie and Marie Osmond, who would be very good representatives of Elohim souls in this realm. And if you look at them, they're full of love. They're full of angelic energy. And this is when they were younger. You know, if you track them, you know, their lives are not so easy. They've lost some of that angelic sheen. But they definitely had it. And you can see them as representative of Mormons, who have those same qualities. And, you know, the Mormon religion is the only religion that says their doctrines, that when you die, you'll go back into other worlds and be creating planets and star seeds, as planets and stars and galaxies. Only religion that says that. And so that all started with Mesa. And what happened in Mesa is they directed me to a church. I went there by myself. I introduced myself to the bishop. He talked to me for 2 hours. And he then invited me to say, would you share? He said, at the end of our talk, he says, Mormons believe anybody can be a prophet, and so I'm not going to say there's anything wrong in what you're saying. And then he asked me if I would come to someone's house and tell my experiences there. And I told him I would. And Terry was in the motel, and I invited her to come to that meeting with me. I didn't for the first meeting. I thought I was going to get thrown out, okay? And so we went to somebody's house, and I told my story again. And at which point, Terry interrupted. She said, they want to say something. Now, this was like 2003. I was at the very beginning stage of figuring all this out. And when she said, I want to say something, I remember thinking, what did I bring her for? What is she going to say? But, of course, all eyes were pointing to her. And all she said was, they want you to know they're hearing your prayers. That's all she said. And she said, from her conscious mind, that she was seeing that they were sending their prayers up, but they were not, they didn't know anyone was hearing them. They couldn't feel the Elohim directly. Why don't you share that from your side, Terry?
Well, what happened was, when we it's like the Elohim were showing me, you know, it was kind of like asking them, like, what are we here for? And they showed me all of these Mormon people that were praying, and they had their crown chakras open, and he had a light column going up from their crown chakra because they were really praying, and the light was going up like 4 feet or even some more, and this group of people were really, really attempting to connect, but they didn't know that they were connected. They didn't. It wasn't totally real to them that they were really connected and that their prayers were being heard. And so it was very important for the Elohim to tell these people, you know, your prayers are being heard. You are making the connection.
Thank you. Now, you know, this was all on November 29th in 2005, I believe. I'm not even sure it was 2005. And it was with Daphne, and I don't remember. It could have been on the phone. We did a lot of stuff over the telephone, and in this channeling, there's the interesting section where the whole thing with Terry. I'll just read it to you. I said, I know Terry has played a huge catalytic role in this lifetime in this work we're doing, and then. The voice that came through Daphne said it was Ra. Didn't say it was the Elohim. In this case, it was the Ra group. This whole thing was answered by the Ra group, not the Elohim. You would liken Terry Brown in what the Catholics call a saint. Seriously, we connect her with the one known as St. Catherine of Siena. Ask her to read about St. Catherine. It would behoove the entity to wear a medal of St. Catherine. When? Was she St. Catherine? It would be better for her to ask this question. And then I said, St. Catherine of Vienna? No, St. Catherine of Siena. And I said, Terry must have been, I was thinking of sausages, Vienna sausages. Terry must have been involved in some of my previous lifetimes, yes? Do you think it would be good for her to know about this St. Catherine connection? Particularly because she is so selfless, helping behind the scenes, you know. And then they said, it's best for Terry to ask questions, and that's all we want to say. And,
you know, there was one interesting thing in this lifetime, I had, like, over my back, I had this prickling sensation over my back and over my arms, and I kept trying to get to the basis of it, why I had that, because I couldn't see any reason, because nothing was wrong, and then I found out that St. Catherine of Siena wore a hair shirt. Sometimes even to the point where it would cause bleeding. And a hair shirt is where there's hairs that are very strong that stick into the skin. And like it was, I remember to keep me on the straight and narrow. It's like a lot of people were getting the plague. And I used to really have to be strict with myself. You know, okay, I'm going to go visit some people that have the plague, and I go, I don't really want to. It's like I might get the plague, and then I think, where's my faith? Where's my faith? But I would sort of use that hair shirt to keep myself in line.
All right. Well, you know what? It's time to end this call. And I want you guys to know that we finally figured out what's going to happen on December 21st, 2012. And this is our first public announcement of this. And that is, from 8 to 10 p.m., we're going to do a planetary healing session and invite the world to come into it. And I'm going to see if I put some announcements out and have all of you tell people. And everyone will open that email about what's going to happen on December 21st, 2012. And
but are we going to do it on the 21st or the 20th?
No, we're not. Well, Stardust is running an announcement on the 20th, but it's announced for the next day, for the 21st. The 21st is a Friday, from 8 to 10, and it's going to be broadcast on BBS Radio. So this is a really great chance to invite people and to something that we're doing. And it's going to be on the same phone number as our Sunday grid healing. And my goal is to get 20,000 people on that call. What do you think? Can we do that, Terry, 20,000 people?
Possible.
I reach high. So we're here now. So stay tuned. I'll send an email out very, very soon that can be passed on to other people with the phone numbers and the instructions. And essentially, we're going to do a Sunday grid healing. But it's, of course, everything is its own moment, but somewhat similar to that format. But I'm definitely expecting a lot of new people. So I will use it as an introductory call to try to introduce people to this. And all of you people who are regulars on the line, who are holding the energy, please show up, because you know what? You're the invisible angels. Nobody knows you're there. We can't see you, but we do feel you. We know you're there, and you're holding the space. And part of the way this works is we've anchored some pylons. You and I, and Terry and all of us, we've anchored an energy that now it's time for other people to come on top of the energies we anchored. So you are very important. This doesn't happen because of me. It happens because of us. So put that on your calendar, December 21st, 2012. This is going to happen. And on that note, it is 7:59. I'm so grateful for all of you that keep coming back and the people that are volunteering and the more people that are volunteering coming up and making it possible to put this in the world, into the world, and hold an incredibly high intent and nothing controlling it, because it's all coming from the inside, expanding outwards. And particularly I thank Terry. And I think Daphne, I wish Daphne was on the call tonight. She would have enjoyed this call. Maybe we'll do another call like this and invite her on and see if she'll show up. And
I am here on the call, Lynn.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
You sneaky thing, you.
I'm at Valerie's and we're sitting here listening to the call.
You want to say anything? We're supposed to hang up now. I was reading your old sessions from 2005, okay?
Yes, I was living in Cape Cod when we brought those through.
Uh-huh.
I'd just like to thank especially like to thank Terry. Terry, you're awesome, as usual. and you win. You're awesome, out of this world awesome, you know. But I wanted to say that I'm doing an experiment with downloading this energy, this incredibly intense energy that's coming through, and it feels like Hetch Hetchy coming through here, and everyone is a tributary, and so I'm hoping that it will anchor, and it seems to be moving that way, so huge thank you. Thank you.
Well, good. How do you like that? Have you ever heard, and you wish something, and there it is? Good work. So thanks, Daphne, for saying hello. And maybe another time we can have a freewheeling call like this, and you might like to participate.
Well, we have to give thanks to Valerie, because she's the person who said, let's get on the call.
All right, good.
Kudos to
thank
Valerie.
You. Thank you, Valerie, okay?
Thank you, Valerie.
And on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody. And you're all unmuted? And do we have
thank
anybody?
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Wynn.
Welcome,
thank you.
Daphne.
Terry,
Wynn.
Thank you.
Welcome to Michael
thank
from
you.
Waterloo.
Big celebration for the 22nd.
Thank you.
You think some of the new people, they're saying, yeah, you're all crazy.
You think we're all crazy? Somebody think we're all crazy?
Hey, Wynn.
But if you
thank you. Nobody's ever accused me of being sane.
There is a fundraiser.